This article is brought to you by the best-selling books 8 Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The link between eye contact and perceived honesty in written follow-up conversations. Why would you do with your eyes shaped just long after the meeting ends? In short, eye contact honesty is not just a moment in a room. The credibility impression your gaze creates during face-to-face conversation travels directly into how people read your written follow-up. Steady, open eye contact sets a trust standard that your writing is then measured against. When your follow-up matches that impression in tone and directness, credibility holds. When it contradicts it, readers sense the gap even if they cannot name why. Definition: eye contact honesty is the credibility signal produced when direct, steady gaze during face-to-face conversation creates a sincere impression. It shapes not only how a person feels in the moment, but how they interpret subsequent written communication from the same individual. There's a pattern I have watched play out for decades. Someone runs a sharp, direct meeting. They hold their gaze well, say what needs to be said, and the room leaves with a clear sense of where things stand. Then the follow-up email arrives, hedged, vague, softened at every edge. And slowly, without quite knowing why, people begin to wonder whether the person they met in that room is the same one writing to them now. This is not a writing problem. It is a trust problem, and it starts with eye contact. The gaze you hold, or avoid, during a conversation does not stay in that room. It builds an impression of your honesty, and that impression becomes the lens through which everything you write is later read. Understanding this link changes how you think about both the meeting and the message that follows it. How eye contact builds a credibility impression before a word is written. When two people talk face to face, they are doing two things at once. They are exchanging information, and they are continuously reading each other for signs of trustworthiness. Eye contact is one of the most powerful signals in that second process. Steady, open gaze during a conversation tells the other person, I am here, I have nothing to hide. And what I'm saying is what I mean. It does not need to be intense or unblinking. It simply needs to be present. The absence of it, or its inconsistency, carries an equally strong message in the opposite direction. Here is the truth of it: people do not consciously score your gaze during a conversation, but they leave that conversation with the feeling. A gut read on whether you were being straight with them. That feeling is not forgotten when they walk out of the room. It sits just beneath the surface, ready to colour every interaction that follows. When your follow-up email arrives, they do not read it as a neutral document. They read it through the credibility impression your eye contact, or lack of it, already formed. That is the link this article is about. Why written follow-up gets read through a non-verbal lens. Most people think of written communication as its own separate channel. You finish the meeting, then you write the email. Two distinct acts. But your reader does not experience it that way. For your reader, the meeting and the follow-up are a continuous relationship. The trust signals from the conversation carry forward, setting an expectation for the writing. When the two are consistent, the reader does not notice. When they are not, something feels off, and the discomfort is hard to name because it crosses channels. This is why a perfectly accurate email can still feel dishonest. If your gaze during the meeting was direct and your follow-up is evasive, the factual content of the email is almost irrelevant. The reader's nervous system has already flagged the inconsistency. They do not say, his eye contact was strong, but his email hedged the commitments. They say, something about this does not sit right. If you want to understand how tone itself carries this effect in writing, it is worth reading Tone in Email Communication, The Unspoken Message. The same mechanism applies here, rooted in what the face-to-face exchange already set in motion. What this looks like when the system works, and when it breaks. Let me give you two scenarios drawn from situations I have seen play out many times. In the first, a manager holds a performance conversation. The conversation is not comfortable, but she holds her gaze steadily throughout. She does not look away when naming the problem, and she does not drop her eyes when the other person pushes back. The follow-up email she sends that afternoon names the issue clearly, states the agreed actions, and does not soften what was said in the room. The recipient reads it and accepts it. They may not enjoy it, but it lands without resistance because the written record matches what they experienced face to face. In the second scenario, the manager delivers the same information, but avoids direct gaze during the difficult parts. She looks at her notes, glances at the door, addresses the ceiling when the other person becomes upset. The follow-up she sends is accurate, but drifts towards softer language. Words like perhaps, and we might consider replace the directness that was, at least briefly, present earlier. The recipient reads it and begins to doubt the conversation they thought they had. The credibility gap opens. Nonverbal communication in tense situations addresses how gaze and body language function under pressure, and that context directly determines what your writing must then carry forward. The gap that opens when gaze and writing pull in different directions. The most corrosive situation is not outright dishonesty, it is inconsistency. When someone's gaze in the room suggested openness, and their writing later suggests caution, the reader is left trying to reconcile two different signals from the same source. That reconciliation almost always resolves toward suspicion. I have watched people lose credibility not because they lied, but because their written follow-up failed to honor the standard their presence had set. The gaze said, "I am straight with you." The email said, "I'm covering myself." The reader registers the gap, even if they never articulate it exactly that way. This matters practically, because it tells you that writing a strong follow-up is not just about clarity of content. It requires tonal consistency with the face-to-face exchange. If the meeting was direct, the follow-up must be direct. If commitments were named in the room, they must be named in the email. The writing must carry the same honesty your gaze communicated, or the trust built in person will drain away before the working day is done. Follow-up emails that reinforce accountability is a practical companion to this thinking. The principles do work precisely because they honor the credibility your presence established. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books they write every time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Why people miss this connection entirely. The reason this link goes unnoticed is simple. People think about eye contact as a live, in-the-moment tool, something you manage while the other person is in front of you. Once the conversation ends, the gaze is gone. Writing belongs to a different set of skills entirely, but the reader does not have that separation. They carry the whole experience with them. The live signals and the written ones are evaluated as a single picture of who you are and whether you can be trusted. There is also the habit of softening in writing. People who speak directly in person will often default to more cautious language when they sit down to write. It feels safer. There is more time to think, more permanence to the words, so their instinct is to hedge. What they do not realize is that this hedging is measured not against some abstract standard of professional tone, but against the direct, clear gaze they held an hour earlier. Understanding how to reduce this kind of drift is central to reducing misunderstanding in written communication. The source of many misunderstandings is not unclear words. It is the tonal contradiction between the conversation and the message that followed it. For a broader view of how the spoken and written channels compare in impact, verbal versus written feedback, which delivers better results in workplace feedback conversations, is a useful read alongside this. What the eye contact you held actually obligates you to write. Here is the practical consequence of everything above. When you hold strong, direct eye contact in a conversation, you make a promise. Not in words. In impression, you tell the other person that you are the kind of communicator who is straight with them. Your follow-up writing is then measured against that promise. This is not a burden. It is a guide. It tells you exactly what register to write in, and it removes the ambiguity that trips most people up when they sit down to compose a follow-up. If the meeting was direct, write directly. Name what was agreed. Name what remains unresolved. Use the same words you used in the room, because those words carry continuity. Avoid the instinct to make the written version sound more formal, more measured, or more protected. That instinct, however understandable, is the thing that breaks the chain of trust. If the meeting was tense or difficult, the same rule applies. A tense, honest conversation followed by a clear, honest email is a complete communication. It may not be comfortable, but it is whole. A tense conversation followed by a vague, softened email is a fractured one, and the fracture almost always falls on the writer's credibility. The role of communication in meeting success touches on how the live exchange sets the conditions for everything that follows. And this is precisely what the principle means in practice. One more thing. When the meeting included genuine lightness or warmth, and your eye contact reflected that, your follow-up can carry a trace of that warmth without undermining its clarity. Tone is not one-dimensional. Knowing when a touch of humanity belongs in writing is itself a form of honesty. How humor can ease workplace tension. When used right, makes a related point about the role of genuine warmth in professional communication. When no meeting preceded the written exchange. Sometimes there is no face-to-face conversation before a follow-up is needed. You're writing to someone you have only ever exchanged emails with, or to someone in a different location. In that case, the credibility signal that eye contact would normally establish must be carried entirely by your words. This makes the written register more important, not less. Without a prior gaze to anchor trust, your tone and directness become the entire first impression. Vague or evasive writing in this context is not softening the message. It is creating the impression of evasion from scratch, with nothing positive to counterbalance it. Write as if your gaze were present in the words. That means being clear about what you're saying and why. It means not hiding the difficult parts in qualifying language. It means ending the email with the same clear signal a steady look across a table would give. I am saying what I mean, and I mean what I'm saying. What to do differently after your next meeting? The practical implication here is not complicated, but it does require deliberate attention before and after every significant conversation. Before the meeting, be conscious of the eye contact you intend to hold, not as a performance, but as a commitment to the impression you are setting. If you know a difficult point is coming, prepare to hold your gaze through it. The moment you look away is the moment doubt enters. After the meeting, before you write a single word of the follow-up, ask yourself one question: what impression did my presence create in that room? Then write to honour that impression. Match the directness, match the warmth where it existed, and name the things that were named aloud. The follow-up email is not a separate communication. It is a continuation of the same conversation, and the reader will experience it that way. Eye contact honesty is not a soft skill. It is the foundation on which your written credibility is built, and every follow-up you send either reinforces that foundation or quietly chips away at it. Frequently asked questions. What is eye contact honesty, and why does it matter? Eye contact honesty is the credibility signal your gaze creates during face-to-face conversation. When you hold steady, open eye contact, people read you as sincere. That impression does not disappear when the meeting ends. It shapes how they interpret everything you write afterward. How does eye contact in a meeting affect a written follow-up? The trust impression formed through eye contact in conversation sets an expectation. When your follow-up email matches that impression in tone and directness, credibility holds. When it contradicts it, becoming vague or evasive, the reader senses the gap, even if they can't name it. Can you build trust through written communication when eye contact was absent? Yes, but you are working harder. Without the trust foundation that direct eye contact builds in person, written communication carries more weight. Your tone, specificity, and directness must do the work your gaze would have done. Vague writing in this context reads as evasion. What makes a follow-up email feel dishonest even when the facts are accurate? Tone misalignment is usually the cause. If your meeting felt warm and direct, but your follow-up is formal and hedged, readers sense the inconsistency. The facts may be accurate, but the emotional register does not match the face-to-face impression, and that gap erodes trust. How does avoiding eye contact in conversation damage written follow-up credibility? Avoidance during conversation creates a low trust baseline. When your written follow-up arrives, the reader already holds a vague suspicion. Even neutral, factual writing gets read through that lens. The avoidance in the room has already done its damage before you open a single email. How should you write a follow-up email after a tense meeting? Match the honesty of the room. If the conversation was direct and difficult, your follow-up should be equally clear. Name what was agreed, name what is unresolved, and avoid softening language that obscures accountability. Directness in writing after a hard conversation reinforces, not undermines, the trust you worked to build. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book site Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.